I feel like shouting. That's my grandmother in me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor, pure in heart, for they shall see God." My text for today: blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God, or the children of God. One of the most profound principles ever taught by our Master was this beatitude, commanding his followers to be peacemakers. When you think in terms of the turmoil, the turbulence, conflicts that we face daily, there is a need for peacemakers. Globally, we see the antagonism between nations, America and Iran, trade wars, nuclear threats. There is a need for peacemakers. The unrest and the commotion among our politicians and even our families tells us that we need peacemakers. When you think in terms of this word, peacemakers, it's two words. Peace, in the Hebrew, it is shalom. In the Greek, it is eirene. In this one word, it bears the idea of wholeness, overall well-being. Someone walks up to you in the Hebrew and says shalom, or you hear the word peace, they are asking for wholeness and well-being in your life. Want good things to come to you. Want your life to be absent of trials, burdens. Peace is what I think all of us desire. But makers puts it in a different perspective. While peace is something we desire, the word makers is a word that shows action. It is a word where one must actively pursue this wholeness. One must actively pursue this well-being. In the midst of the acrimony, the animosity, the antagonism, and the hatred, God is asking that his people be peacemakers. He wants us to get actively involved in making this world a better place, making our families a better place, neighborhoods. He's calling on us to be the salt of the earth. He's calling on us to be the light of the world. And in this idea of peacemakers, I want to challenge us. First of all, what are the attributes of a peacemaker? Secondly, the admonition to be peacemakers. Thirdly, the actions of a peacemaker. In my study, what I found is that each one of these Beatitudes is necessary for one to be a peacemaker. If any one of them are missing in the life of the Christian, it's very difficult for you to be a peacemaker. If you're not poor in spirit, where you acknowledge the fact that I am totally dependent upon God and upon His providence, it's not anything that I can do, nothing that I've done to get me where I am. I have gotten where I am who I am, because God has given it. You cannot be a peacemaker if you're not one who mourns over the lack of relationship that the world has with God. When you see men with no knowledge of God, no response to God, it ought to cause your heart to mourn. And when you see even within yourself that I'm not everything that I ought to be, it ought to cause you to mourn. You cannot be a peacemaker if you are not meek. Peacemaker is one who has strength, but his strength is under control. He knows how to deal with his strength in a way to bring about edification. You can't be arrogant and be a peacemaker. You can't be selfish and be a peacemaker. You gotta love people, and you gotta desire to be around people. You can't be a peacemaker if you don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. You want to be in right standing with God. You want to seek those things that are truthful and right. You can't be a peacemaker if you're not a merciful person. If you're not a forgiving person, it's very hard for you to ever become a peacemaker. And if you're not pure in heart, one who really understands how that God must create within us a right spirit. The spirit that God wants is so important. So when I talk to you about being and the call to be a peacemaker, you've got to be poor in spirit. You've got to be a mourner over the condition that you find our world. You've got to be meek. You've got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You've got to be merciful. And you got to be pure in heart. You have to have your motives right as you deal with your man, your fellow mankind. Secondly, not only are those the attributes of a peacemaker, but here's the admonition of a peacemaker. If you think being a peacemaker is easy, it's not. If you think it's pretty, it's not. Sometimes it gets real ugly to be a peacemaker. Being a peacemaker doesn't mean that you're going to be nice. Peacemaking is messy. Peacemaking sometimes wrenches all of the energy that you have. To be a peacemaker is work. It takes time to be a peacemaker. A lot of emotion and energy to be a peacemaker. Sometimes you got to pull, twist. It's a great risk in being a peacemaker. May I say to you that in spite of it, God has called us to it. He wants us to get messy. He wants us to get involved in the affairs that we find ourselves. He does not want us to go and bury our heads in the sand. He does not want us to act like everything is all right. God wants us to be honest about what you see, honest about what you feel, honest about what this world is about. And then once you are honest about it, then God wants us to roll up our sleeves and get our hands involved in making peace. It's almost, when I was a child, I liked to make mud castles and things like that. You know, and when you get through, you're just all muddy and dirty. And that was the best bath you could take after being involved in mud. I tell you, God wants us to see that peacemaking must be involved in the peacemaker making the first step. Here's what the Bible says in Matthew 5, verse number 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother. Then come and offer thy gift. If you're a peacemaker, and you're going to be a peacemaker, you're going to have to make the first move. You can't wait until they come to you. You can't wait until the situation comes to you. You're going to have to get actively involved, and you're going to have to make the first move. Well, here's a passage that I found very, very enlightening. It was found in Psalm 34. David is the author of this psalm, Psalm 34, verse number 11. And I want you to just see what David says, because peacemaking is something that the children of God, everybody who's known God and has a good relationship and has all of these attributes that I just shared with you, they are the peacemakers. And I believe that David understood. He was able to take life and look at life and then give some advice about life. And I love what he says here, beginning at verse number 11. He says, come, ye children, hearken unto me. Listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That's the subject, the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life, loveth many days, that he may see good? If you want a good life, if you want to see a long life, if you want the best out of life, David says, let me show you the fear of the Lord. Let me teach you how to have it. He said, depart from evil. Do good. But here it is. He says what? Well, first, number 13, keep thy tongue from what? Evil. And thy lips from what? Speaking guile. Depart from what? Evil. And do what? Good. Do what? Seek. Watch the word. What's the word? Seek peace. And what? Pursue it. In other words, it's not going to come to you. You're going to have to seek it. You're going to have to make it. You're going to have to get involved in it. Are you with me? He said, seek peace. Are you there? And pursue it. And watch this. Because this ties into the fact that when they shall be called the children of God, it ties in with all of the blessings that come with the Beatitudes. But watch this. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the what? The righteous. And his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Listen to me. When you are involved in being a peacemaker, here's what I find, that you're not making it by yourself. You're not involved in this thing by yourself. God is involved. God is participating. But God is using you. God is actively involved in you. That's why you're a child of God. It's because you are God's spokesman. You are God's child. And God wants to use you to bring about peace in this world. And so the Bible said, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. He said, but the face of the Lord. So you don't have to worry about the evildoers. Don't worry about those that cause the problem. Don't worry about that, because just as the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, his face of the Lord is against them that do evil. In other words, God is the referee. God is the one who calls it. So I'm simply saying to us that know that David understands two things that we ought to do. Pursue and, well, first of all, do righteousness and seek peace. May I say it this way? Peace is a bridge. Peace is a bridge. It's a bridge between men. It's a bridge between circumstances. But on that bridge is made up of two sides. One side is righteousness. The second side is truth. Do not think that you can make peace if you're not after righteousness. Don't think you can make peace if you're not after truth. You can't build peace on unjust things. You can't build peace on lies. You can't build peace on things that are not in keeping with the will of Almighty God. But when you build peace, you gotta have righteousness with it. You're gonna have to have truth with it. In other words, the truth has to be that which makes peace, that builds the bridge between individuals. When you look at it, here, watch Paul coming back to the New Testament. The Bible says in Romans 14 and verse number 19, let us therefore, watch the word, follow what? Oh, are you with me? All right, watch this. Let us what? Therefore what? Follow what? After the things which what? What's the word? The things that what? The word is what? Make for peace. And the things wherewith one may what? Edify. Wait a minute. I want to deal with that word edify. Because when you make peace, peace has to be involved in the edification, the building up of individuals. If you're not making the situation better, if you're not making your life better, if you're not making the world better, if you're not building up, amen, then that ain't peace. So the idea for peace is to edify, to build up those that are around. Now watch Romans 12. Go to Romans 12 and verse number 16 and watch this one. The Bible says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of what? Low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Don't get involved in that now. Don't start trying to do evil for evil, because that's not a peacemaker. He said, provide things what? Honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible. Now, this is very interesting. If it be possible, you know what that means? Is that when he said, if it be possible, that means that you're not going to always make it. You're not going to always be successful. Now, you go after it. You pursue it. You want to come away successful. But if you don't, at least God knows that you did everything possible, as much as lieth in you. So many people say, well, I'll make peace if I see something. No. God said to make peace, you got to come and examine yourself. You got to get down in you as much as lieth in you. In other words, you're going to have to go way down in yourself. I mean, you're going to have to get outside of yourself. I mean, you're going to have to twist yourself, pull yourself, risk yourself. So many people say, well, I just ignore it. No, you can't ignore it. God said, make peace. Make peace. But watch him now. He says, for if it be possible for as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Then watch him. He said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath.
For it is written, here it is, vengeance is what? And I will what? So don't get in the business of trying to repay evil for evil. No, you're wasting your time. You're wasting energy. No, I'm going to get even with you. I'm going to get you. No. If you do that, God's not with you. God is not going to be with you. I'm just going to tell it like it is. God is not going to be in that. But if you want God, God's power in it. God in it. You want God to work on you. God to work with the situation. Then don't get into this vengeance thing. Too many homes are broken up because you want to get even. Want to get back. You did it to me, I'm going to do it to you. No. We are called to be peacemakers. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Peacemakers. Well, let me move to the action of peacemakers. Everything that I just shared with you, I want to show you how that it was put into play. And I know time is not on my side, but I'm gonna tell you to do this because I want you to go and study it. I'm trying to pick which one because I know I can't do both, but I'm gonna share with you Genesis 13, 1 through 18, and I want you to put that in your notes, and I want you to go home and study these again. And then the one that really, 1 Samuel 25, that's with Abigail and David. The first one is with Abraham and Lot. Now, these are Old Testament examples, but they illustrate the call to be a peacemaker. When you see a problem, here's what I need you to do. I need you to be a peacemaker. Let's at least do Genesis 13. Genesis 13. I just want you to see this. Oh, the Bible is beautiful. You know, when I studied it for me. Now I'm gonna tell you, I studied for me. I don't study for you. I study for me. And then I get to you. And so only thing I'm simply saying is that I'm trying to make myself better. Amen. And this helps me. This helps me. And I hope that if you're really serious about God blessing you and wanting good days and life, take God at his word. Be a peacemaker. But you're gonna have to do these things. Now I just want to read this to you. Let's just put that on the screen, Genesis 13. And I want you to, let's just read this. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Watch verse number 2. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. Verse number 3. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. All right? Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram, watch him now, called on the name of the Lord. Verse number 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Verse number 6. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Verse number 7. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled there in the land. Now, before you move there, in other words, these two men, are children of God. The Canaanites and the Perizzites are the people of the world who are watching how God is dealing with his people. Verse number 8, now watch this. And Abram said unto Lot, notice who went first. Abram said unto Lot, he's the peacemaker, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Now watch this. There is meekness. Don't go yet. There is poor in spirit. There is meekness. There is mercy. There is pure in heart. Are you with me? There is a desire for righteousness. All of that is embedded in that man, Abram. And that's what makes him a good peacemaker. See? And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife. All right? Go to the next verse. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And this is really to show as much as lies within you. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Now, before you go, listen to this. Abram is the head of the family. Lot is his nephew. You gonna let your nephew choose where he wants to go? And then you, this is because he's a peacemaker. He is simply saying to, he didn't go and make up, you know, and just say, well, this is where you're going to go and this is where I'm going to go. He said, you choose. If thou take the left, I'll go. Right, go. Okay, watch verse number 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Now, if that had been some of us, and you gave him a choice, and he chose the best, we would say, oh, you're unfair, you're not fair, you're not right. I tried my best. I'm not going to fool with you. I'm through with you. But here's what you got to see. Watch this. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, always remember, the Lord is involved. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou cometh unto Zoar. God is always involved in the peacemaking. Watch verse number 11. Watch verse number 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Verse number 12. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. We know that story. Verse number 13. And this is what I want you to see. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. God's always in it. Verse number 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, see, when you're a peacemaker, the Lord gets involved. And after that, Lot was separated from him. The Lord said to Abram, lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward. Verse number 15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. You don't have to earn it. I'm going to give it to you, not only to you, but to thy seed forever. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. If you read the story of Abigail, you're going to see the same element. You're going to see the same picture. When you're a peacemaker, her husband was obstinate. He was unholy, but I tell you what she did, because she was a peacemaker, God worked in her life, and God worked in the life of David. The whole situation was edified, the edification of it, the betterment of it, is when Abigail became a peacemaker. You go read it. You're going to have to read the whole chapter in order to get that story, but it's a beautiful story, and it teaches the same thing. May I end by saying, when you talk about those who put this thing called peace into action, there's no one better than Jesus himself.
For Jesus Christ is the peace. The angel declared that he will bring peace to all men on earth. He declared long time ago, Isaiah saw it, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Am I right about it? The Bible said he should be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. But here it is, the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the giver of peace. He's the bringer of peace. He reconciled man and God. He brought his own life, sacrificed his life, risked his own life, gave his own life, gave his own blood, did all that he could to bring God and man back together. Thank God for Jesus, the peacemaker. I done got happy now. Lord Jesus, God is a good God, and he is the Prince of Peace. Oh, I love him, I love him, I love him. I love the word of God. I know what I need to do. Don't be looking at me talking about, well, what do you need to do? No, you go do what you need to do. Don't be putting it on me. I already got mine. I know what to do. He's a good God. It's a lot in there. It's a lot. A lot. May God bless us. You've heard the gospel. The gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. That's what it is. It's the gospel of peace. It brings men together. He is our peace, who has made both one, broken down the middle wall of partition that is between us. In the church, the church is a habitation of peacemaking. He brings Jews and Gentiles together, black and white together, rich and poor together. Am I right about it? God does it, but we're going to all have to be peacemakers for God to do it. Somebody needs to come. You've heard the gospel. Believe it now. Repent of your sin. Confess Christ to be the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the one who is our peace. You come to him, and he'll bring peace to your life. Not only will he give you peace between your brother, but he'll put peace in your life, because now you are at peace with God through his wonderful sacrifice. May God bless you to come. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace in the mansion bright and blessed. He'll prepare us a place, and when we all get to heaven, know what a day.
Rejoicing that will be.
And when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky, but when traveling days are over now, a shadow not a sight. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and breathe.